Good day, brethren. Blessings to each one of you. It's my first time here. My name is Richard Sabugo. I'm Mexican. I had to have a defect. Not everything can be a beautiful color. I live in Cincinnati, Ohio. You have your house there. I pastor a church. 8 years ago, we planted a church. We were living in Florida before, in Mickey Mouse. But God decided to move us, and move us to the cold, because there was cold hearts. And we have tried to bring the fire of the Lord to Cincinnati, and we're there for you to serve you. If you'd like to pass and visit us, speak to me so I won't be there and there'll be no problem. No, I'm just joking. We're there at your orders. You're all welcome. We thank the Pastor Timothy. We have had a friendship. He went over there to Cincinnati last two Christmases ago. He was with us and our family and with the whole church. Our family is the church. We live with them. I'm willing to give my life for them. I would give my life for my people. People that ask me, what day do you rest? He says, well, we're going to have eternity to rest, so we're here to work. Time is short. Amen? And it's not going to be possible to work in the future. I chose, or Lord put this in my heart. He had asked me before, but I couldn't come. There's not many things to do. And the truth is, sometimes it's difficult to organize many different events and different necessities in the church. And the church is supporting us there. There's brethren that preach in my place. And they even do it better than I do. So glory to God. But we're here by His grace. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to preach about Jonah. Don't laugh, brother. Matthew chapter 12. Now, something that's always caught my attention is that today, Satan, that is the prince of this world, has worked strongly to try to treat the Bible as a story. And trying to teach the wrath of God as something that is nice. And we see Noah in his boat and all the animals and everyone's happy and all that, you know, with their heads outside the window. And a rainbow. And people see it as a myth, a fairy tale. Jonah is something similar. Ah, man, that a fish swallowed. Who's going to believe that? And he was eventually delivered from there. The first thing I learned about the Bible when I first got saved is convictions from the Bible. And what the Bible says is my authority. And that's my authority. That's what I should live. And I am, even if I don't understand it or not, even if I don't agree with it or not, the Bible is my authority. And something about Jonah is that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about him. Matthew 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Let's pray. Holy Father, my Lord God, we come before you and we put ourselves in your hands. Lord, each message that has been heard has been sufficient to give you thanks. Thank you for speaking to us, one of these messages. Thank you, my God. I ask that you speak through me and I'll speak on my own terms. Don't permit myself to exalt myself. Use this servant or servant. I'm not worthy, but you have made me worthy. Protect and my heart, my mouth, and the hearts of those that are listening. And we will rejoice ourselves in your word. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I believe, whoever doesn't believe the Word of God is calling God a liar. We'd lie, but God doesn't. If God says that this happened, and this is the sign that He sent, said this generation, this even adulteress, could be converted, that's the sign. Our Lord Jesus Christ, what we have to do is live as He lived. And the first thing that we need to do, understand, to live in Christ, you have to put Him first. You have to die to yourselves. And without death, there's no resurrection. So we are happy that God has permitted me to understand this. This is the sign. To be able to live a life that is useful to the Lord, because sin makes us unuseful. We have all been unuseful before the Lord because of our sin. We have been apart from God because of sin. But God has given us the means by which we can live a life before Him, His grace. What impedes us from serving the Lord is our sin. But He gives us the means to be forgiven of sin and to be useful to Him by His sign. Jonah, we're going to go to the prophet Jonah now. He's a very interesting prophet because he lived in an age when there wasn't so much progression. This kingdom had prosperity and fortifications, and it seemed that everything was okay within the people. But the people had, wasn't in the right place anymore. God was preparing His judgment, and was going to come against them, and they're going to be destroyed and brought to captivity. But Jonah lives in this age, and Jonah had a different attitude. The Jews are people that become very proudful. Some of the preachers already brought that out. In reality, they felt superior to others, and they believed that they were better than the rest of the world. They considered the others as inferiors. Because they said, we have a father Abraham. And you say, why don't you do what Abraham did? Jesus said, why don't you do what Abraham told you to do? The same thing we're saying today. I'm a Christian, but you don't know what God tells you to do. You're not obeying Christ. And why? Because we're not following the sign that He's given to us. And the sign was given by Jesus Christ, a death on the cross and a resurrection that gives to us the power and the power to live a new life that is agreeable to God. But no, brethren, we're forgetting. Now, we think we can be a Christian in our own way. Jonah wanted to be a prophet, but in his own way. And the first thing we see in Jonah chapter 1, the first thing and the sad thing, that the word of the Lord came. You know, brother, I wouldn't be what I am without the word of the Lord. His word came to my life. A man like me was used, but it was a man that loved the word of God. What we bring is not our word. It is the word of the Lord. You know, this is interesting to see how Jonah, that spoke to kings and lived in an age of prosperity, and he saw the hand of God, they didn't give glory to God. And it says, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh. You know? The word of the Lord comes to him and says, go and make disciples. And I say, sitting down? No. No, it says that he went up. But not to obey God, unfortunately. We get up to go to work. We get up to go to the park. We get up to do many activities, and we don't go and do the will of God. And the word of God is clear to our lives. Go and make disciples. Go and preach the gospel. Brethren, not to any person, but to all people. We cannot make difference between one person and another person. It doesn't matter what religion or race you're from, what denomination or where you're from, your economic status. They have a necessity of Christ. The same sign that has been given to us to live a new life. The interesting thing here is that he tells him to rise and go to Nineveh. The destruction of God is clear and specific. Some people don't understand God's word because it's not profitable to them. They want to live their own life, and they want to have their own sign.
as God hasn't called me.
Well, then you're not a child of God then.
To each one of us that are here, that we're child of God, that recognize by your fruit you'll be known, Jesus Christ said. And the first fruit is the obedience to God. There is no Christian without obedience. There is no Christianity without the Lordship of Christ. Before salvation, then the Lordship. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord, without the Lordship of Christ, there'll be no salvation. He paid a very high price for your soul. He paid the price of his blood, and that's to buy our salvation. We accept Christ, he gives us a salvation. He says, now I take possession. I am your owner, and I'm going to make adopt you as a child, and that's a blessing. We should be grateful in a very different way, and we should raise ourselves up and go to where he asks us to go. Certainly, I'm in Cincinnati. I didn't want to go to Cincinnati. I was happy with Mickey Mouse in Florida. I felt happy. It was a nice, beautiful city. And the beaches were close, nice and warm. You guys have beaches close by, but don't go in that water. It's too cold. God has a very different plan. And against my will, I spoke with my pastor. I said, Brother Ricardo, why don't you go there? Think about it. Pray about it. He was my pastor. He could have ordained me to go there. I said, I'm going to send someone else. But God laid on my heart, and I later understood, something went out for a minute. Oh. God began the work. He began to work in me, just as Jonah. After many times of not telling God I didn't want to do it, we've seen many souls saved. Many couples get together and marry in the church. Many people getting baptized, following the Lord in the Bible college. God has been good. But it's not me, it's God that's done that. God has done everything. But we know that when he says go, it's the responsibility of all of us, not just the pastor. Oh, the pastor go and win souls. The pastor go and... No. Well, if you want people to visit you, you go and visit others. Why don't you go to another house and visit? Amen? You know why people don't say amen? People say, I don't want to say amen because my children say you're a hypocrite. It's interesting, brethren, that he says, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. It's interesting, brethren. I tell the brethren in church, Pastor, why does God permit so much wickedness? It doesn't make God happy. And we have let our wickedness arise because of our disobedience, and we say, God, because you're not doing your job. There's so much wickedness in this world because us, as Christians, are not bringing what can bring peace and avoid wickedness, that is Jesus Christ, in the lives of each person. We're not going to our Nineveh. We're sitting down as we want to and say, I'm a Christian, but in my way. I'm not exaggerating like the pastor is all the time in church. You're a member of the body of Christ, that is the church. My members are going to say, oh, this arm doesn't want to work. I don't want to be a member on a Sunday morning. Or you're united to the body or you're not. The head is Jesus Christ. And therefore, you being a member of the body, you don't have decision and own will. The head decides what you do. What you should do, and when you should do it for the benefit of the rest of the body. And that God has been glorified by that, so that other people will come and become saved also. It's interesting to see, brethren, how we live lives
And where Jonah arose and went the wrong direction. Instead of going to go to, this is us, we instead of going to church, we go to work. Someone said Thursday, they went to go knock on doors. Oh, why so early on Sunday morning? During the whole week, I wake up early at 6 o'clock in the morning, and Sunday, I have to get to church at 9:30? For work, you have all the strength. And you give God what's left over, and you come to church tired. You know what, brother? The church I pastor in, no one wakes up. I go and I sit on the side of them when they sleep, and they hear my voice. So you'll know if any of you fall asleep. You know, brother, it's interesting how we give the worst to God. Oh, God knows. God knows my heart. You should be preaching the gospel. You should go and win souls. You should go be working for the benefit of your brethren. You should be supporting the pastor. Nobody says amen, right? What a barbarity. Sometimes they don't like to hear the truth. So one time in church, he said, Pastor, if you keep preaching like that, we didn't even have 1 year in church. We're never going to have people in church. And I said, who are you? Nobody. I already had one person that was listening to me. And he says to me, Pastor, you were right. Better preach the truth? Look, we have a great group now. 50 people, 150 people, more or less. People with convictions. They don't go for obligation because I bring them, they love the church. They learn to love God, they love the preacher, they learn to love the Word of God. That's what this is all about. That the people see how much joy there is in the Christian, and the people desire to have the same God you have and have the same family that we have. You know why churches are empty? Because of a lack of love between us. If that's the love the Father's going to give you, I'll stay in the world then, people say. Lemon-faced, I have to go to work, and I have to go to church and sad and all that. There's no more joy, there's no more passion for souls. They love to go and obey God. We're like Jonah. We abandoned. I'm going down south. Stay where you are until God moves you. Until God says go, and then you go. Now God said go here in your surroundings. How much wickedness there is in the city. The smallest city in the smallest state. But the bars and discotheques everywhere. People in drug addicts, young people, long lost in the streets. And you're here sitting without doing anything. You're sitting in your house saying you're a Christian, and I go when I can, God knows, that you don't want. You're going the wrong direction. And this is interesting. And look good, brethren. Verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee. The majority of us, brethren, Thursday at 5 in the afternoon, we're going to go and visit and knock on doors. We flee. I have a lot of things to do. I'm busy. I can't. Shut up. And when we need help, Lord, help me. You know how much I love you. The person that loves God is the person that obeys God. Do you love God? This place should be filled today. This place should be filled tomorrow. There's 20,000 people in this small city. How many of us are here? What percentage is that in this city? And it's not for preacher's fault. It's our fault. He teaches us, don't harden your heart and flee. It's because my children need a day. Why don't you dedicate each night to them? Proverbs 22, verse 6. Raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What do you instruct your children? The rebellion against your preacher, the hardness of your heart for not attending church. That's what we teach our children. And then we say, Pastor, I don't know why my children don't want to go to church. Because you've been a rebellious person also. Giving a bad testimony.
We need to be doing the work that God has called us to do, brethren. Who is that? This man that's come to yell at me? It's a man. It's a son of God. He says, "Why did the preacher invite him?" He says, "I invited myself. This is the house of my Father." Of course, I have a pastor friend that invited me also to come today. So, shut up and obey. It's my favorite word. My favorite word is someone is when it's put opposition. Shut up and obey. Shut up and obey. Before you judge, judge yourself. Are you doing what you should be called to be doing? It's interesting, brother. Sometimes someone from outside has to come and tell us these things that we've heard for many years. God is very clear. And Jonah rose up to flee from the Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. You know what happens, brethren? You have not realized. Is that each time you flee from the presence of the Lord, you go down. You descend, friend. Each time it's colder and more away, far away from God. But I like when the people say to me, I'm going to tell you why. God knows what's in my heart. They want me to believe that there is a great strength in God and belief in God. If you had that love for God, you would be working for God and you'd be kneeling before God, reading His Word, instructing your children, instructing others, practicing the Word of God. Pastor, you're judging me. You don't know what's in my heart. There's nothing good in your heart. If you're not serving in God's way, you're going down. You're fleeing from God and you're going down. And I'm not telling you you're going to be condemned to hell. Maybe, if you're not saved, if Christ's not in your heart, by your fruits you shall know them. You know what the fruits are? First, it should be attitude. An attitude that is thankful to the Lord. An attitude that is filled with love and passion for His Word. Brethren, your children should bring forth fruit. They pass the offering plate and you look in your wallet, pull it out like this. I found a $1 bill. I mix it up with the $50 bills. Then Benjamin's, that'll even show up in the plate. We're not speaking about money, brethren. God doesn't need money. He needs your heart. Because God is the owner of everything, including your soul, including your body. God doesn't need you to give him anything because he is the owner of everything. The only thing that we can give to him in sacrifice is our hearts and our minds. That is what I'm not going to preach a lot about the fish and all that. The message is here in chapter 1. The first thing we need to do, if the word of God came to you, raise up. But don't flee from God. Don't go down. The saddest thing, verse 3, he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with unto them from the presence of the Lord. But brother, there are things people say to me, Pastor, God knows that I have to work a lot of hours and I have to do this and that. No, you don't have to, you want to. You're not trusting in God. God doesn't want lazy people that are not working. Christ said, I work because my Father works. That's why I work. If He works, being our God, we came here to work. God has given all of this so that we would work. But the interesting part is that we pay to a new car, a new house, new clothes, a trip, constructing my house, and all those things become more important than the will of God in your life. And it becomes your God. And you begin to pay to flee from God. And you take your own ship and your own abandon and you say, why is this storm happening to me?
Why is this sickness? Why are my children not good? Why is my marriage not good? Why is everything bad happening to me if I love God? Yeah, but you, the own God you've created, not the God of the Bible. When we're speaking, brother, and you're paying your own passage,
some people say, I'm waiting for God to open doors. Just shut it down. God has opened the door, and the door is called Jesus Christ. And each one that goes by him will be saved. The door is there in the Bible. Nothing had happened to Jonah yet. Jonah rose up and went. Maybe we've done the same thing. Nothing's happened to me yet. The Philistines didn't go and attack him. The way was clean for him. Jonah went down to in the boat. God didn't make him lose his wallet and close the door. He took his own money, our own strengths. It makes us to astray from the true way, the way we've been called to follow. Jesus was walking on the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brethren, and they left all, and he gave a new purpose. I will make you fishers of men. You know, we're not here to pass out tracts. To throw the net of the gospel. It's a dynamic that we're not fish anymore, we become fishermen. We pull those lost souls out and we give them life. Are you listening to me, brother? We have purposes. God did not bother Jonah to make him lose his wallet or to stop him from getting on the boat. And then the storm came to his life. It's interesting, brethren. In verse 2, going back a little, verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. And cry or preach. How many of you have preached the Word of God? How many of you have preached in the street, in your house, in your work? How many of you are preaching today? How many rose up and preached the Word to your children? How many went to bed last night preaching the Word of God to your family? How many people know that you're a Christian? You cry against them. Preach to them. That's why you're yelling, amen. They know me because we yell a lot at church. God gave me this voice. I thought I had swallowed a frog when I was younger, but no, that's my voice. God gave me a voice and said, preach my word, in season, out of season. In the way, in the house, there's not a bad time to preach the word of God. With our testimony, of course. It doesn't matter how much you speak, it's not going to work if your testimony doesn't back up what you're saying. We need to preach with our testimony first, so that the people that hear preachable Christ know why we are different. What is the reason we don't walk in the world? Because the love of the Father is in us. Amen? It's interesting, brother. Go and cry. To cry, you have to arise up. It's interesting. People pray for my family so that they could be saved. Go and preach them, pastors. I can't pray all the time. But if there's not someone that preaches to them, why are we praying? If they're not going to you first, you should be the first one to bring them the gospel of Jesus Christ. I kneel down and pray. But you know what? Your family's not going to believe me. They'll believe you. They know you. Maybe you're scared to preach because they haven't seen a change in your lives. They haven't seen the new life. They're going to say, no, you're the same as you've always been. There's no difference in your life. You call yourself a Christian, but we've seen your life. You don't even go to church because you have to work overtime and double time. We have never even seen you share the word of God with anyone. You don't look like you're a living sacrifice. And now you complain? I have to work, and then they ask me to work more hours? As if it was your life. Miserable. You work a lot? 100% is up to the courts. Who pays for the lights here? Who pays the taxes? So that we can have air conditioning and all this. It should come from our hearts. And thankfulness for the Lord. This should be the best place in the city. This should be the most agreeable place, the most beautiful place in the city. With joy and crying and preaching. And people say, what is going on in that place? Not because there's drums, but because there's hearts that are willing and desires to preach. Now, there's much wickedness. It is true. The wickedness has gone up a lot. And people call that wickedness. And the Bible says that love will cover a multitude of sins. God loves everyone, but God does not love their sin, of course. God doesn't love anyone's sins. God doesn't tolerate the sin. Tolerance, my brethren, I'm going to be honest. In the church, I have of everyone. Ex-drug addicts, ex-alcoholics, all sorts of people, bad habits. Ex. But God has made the change in their lives. We have ex-prostitutes, ex-thieves, ex-murderers. There's of everyone in the church. And they're all new creatures in Christ. The church is growing and becoming a beacon and a lighthouse because there's people that have heard the call of God and they have left all and they follow Him. You cannot follow Christ with your backpacks and your car and your house and your work. You have to be willing to follow it all. Even your own life and your wife and your children. Who does not love me more than all those things is not worthy of me. He does not deny himself and follow me. Cannot be my disciple. He does not lose my life for my sake in the Gospels. Cannot be my disciple. Are you willing? If you accept Christ, you said already yes to that question. Why is it not happening? The sign of Jonah has already been given to us. He died on the cross for us. But that death could not hold him. Yet we have victory. And our lives should reflect in all lives and in all aspects and all facets as husbands and wives and fathers. The truth, brethren, sometimes we think that tolerating, we have to respect the whole world. I don't respect sin. I don't respect the error of the whole world. I don't respect religions and sects that cause harm. I'm not going to disrespect God to respect a man. God does not have tolerance for error. He doesn't accept sin, doesn't accept errors. You know? Certainly, we see as Elijah proclaim to the people, to his people, and to the king Ahab. But God speaks about repentance by denouncing the sin of the people. Repentance doesn't come unless you know what you have to repent of. Does anyone not know what you have to repent of? But now, I have not found one person, when I preach the gospel, that doesn't know what sin is. We're conscious of it.
This is the time of the Lord. No, the time of the Lord was yesterday. He died already. Today is the time of repentance. The time of restoration is today, not tomorrow. Christ died for our sins. So we repent. I have three children. My youngest one is 25 years old. Don't get excited at the young people. I'm not going to present her to him. 25 years old. It's in the university. She came home. When she was young, we chastised her when she did wrong. We put her hands on the wall in the corner. She had to raise her hands. She couldn't even turn around and see us. Your sin has made division between you and the family. And she was like that, against the wall. 5, 6 years. And I would say, what are you doing when she turned around? 5, 6 years of age, this would happen. And she understood that her sin separate her from God. To repent, we first realize that our sin is against God. You know why we don't feel bad because of our sins? Oh, I affect the brethren or the pastor or someone else. I'll ask this guy for forgiveness. But have you asked for forgiveness from God? In sincere repentance. If it was a sea, the church would be full of people. The church would be full of reading God's word to listen to the preacher. The church is not to teach you. The church is to unify the teachings that each one of us are doing in our houses. And we have the same thoughts and the same heart for the Lord. One church, one faith, one Lord. Let's go to church so that they can teach us. Well, you should have already read all week. You should have prayed all week so God would speak to you on Sunday. I came to pray here, and what about your private room in your house? Here is to unite ourselves in prayer to win the world to Christ. Do your show in your house. God knows your heart. And close with your door closed in private. Cry to the Lord. When you come here, unify with your brethren in one thought. One cause, preaching the gospel. Yes, the wickedness is great before the Lord. And there's nothing that's not manifest in His presence. But all these things are open to Him, which whom we have to give account. I'm telling you this today, brethren. We should not hide anything from God. You can pretend all you want, but God knows what is in your heart. Doesn't it make you ashamed? I'm going to tell you something, brethren. I wake up and I say, Lord, forgive me. I've messed up. Yes, I serve the Lord full time. I read the Bible, I pray. But I feel dirty sometimes. I need to change that daily. Lord, forgive me, cleanse me today to be able to save you. Whichever evil thought, whichever thing that is bothering me, the wickedness is in us, brethren. There's nothing good in us. But Christ has transformed our lives and has given us a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone that is sensible to the Word of God. It's because it's difficult. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. It's the Word of God, and it's true. If we have the Spirit of God, we're going to do things in His name. Sometimes, brother, we have few times to preach the Word of God. In the church, I preach a long time. If you go to Cincinnati, prepare yourself. You may get discouraged. I preach a long time. If we could be 2 hours in front of a television watching a game, or 3 hours, if it's extra innings or all that. Oh, the sound went out again. Oh. You don't, each week you don't miss your favorite program, but you can't come to the Word of God. I mean, it's, oh, how boring to preach and falling asleep and yawning and stretching. You think that's going to discourage me? No, it's discouraging God. We should have hearts that want to receive the word of God. Don't flee from the presence of the Lord. And this is interesting. He takes his boat. He says, I'm going to go to Tarsus. God's not going to reach me there. God sends a storm here. Verse 4. And when he goes on the boat, and there was a purpose, but Jonah was a prophet. He knew about God. He knew about his power. When they asked him, who are you? He says, I'm a prophet of God, and I fear God. You fear God? You're fleeing from him? His fleeing from God showed his fear to God. And the sailor said to him, well, cry out to your God. If the problem isn't God. The problem isn't you. The problem is me. Throw me in the sea. And those sailors said, no. No, you have a better heart than him. I called him to Nineveh to preach, so the word, wrath of God didn't come on there. And those sailors said, no, let's throw our riches in the sea. They didn't want to throw Jonah in the sea. Their life depended on all those belongings that were in the ship, and they were ready to throw everything away to save Jonah's life. There's people that are looking for life, and they'll pay what it is to maintain their physical life. I see my Mexican friends that have they have rings and they have watches and all that. But comes a moment when they receive Christ, they've left all that behind. Because it didn't give any security. It was all false. And those mariners threw everything in the sea. And the storm still did not die. And an unbeliever can't offer anything to God. And a believer can offer his life. Because it is his life. It's God's life. We should love God with all our strength, soul, heart, and mind. They throw him in the sea. You know what happened to Jonah? Jonah was sleeping on the boat in the lower part of the ship. A Christian person that is fleeing from God is always going to go down and down and down. It's because my mother, my wife, my children don't want to come to church. And you're going further and further and further away from God in a sleep. When I can, I go. You call yourself a believer. No, you're a hypocrite. Don't call yourself a Christian. Say, I'm not saved yet. Maybe God will have patience and mercy and I will get saved one day. It's sad to see situations like that. People that call themselves Christian, but in the deepest part of the ship, fleeing from the presence of God. They throw everything in the sea, the mariners. And the people work for their God, and their God cannot save them. The God of this world, the God of music, the God of sports, the God of whatever, cannot save us, even though you offer everything to it. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, I could give everything, but I don't have the love of God. I could have sacrificial love for others, but not love for God, and I don't have anything. I could have all faith and knowledge, but without the love of God, it's not worth anything. We cannot give anything to God. We can offer the love that he's given to us. It's the only thing that we can offer. The rest is not worth anything, brother. Have you ever seen a funeral where they have the house behind the hearse? That they bury him with their house, maybe a crazy person or something. But what is it good, a house, after you die? We see that They wanted to work for their salvation, and the storm got worse and worse.
By grace we are saved. By way of faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And certainly, Christians, we're not saved by our works. I don't hurt people. No, we're good for nothing. Good for nothing. If you don't serve God, you're not good for anything. You are unuseful. The only way to serve God is obeying Him and being useful to Him in and by way of the church. This man had fallen asleep, Jonah. God will save. God judged the world on the cross. If you believe in me, you'll have eternal life. If you don't believe, you'll be condemned. That's simple. That's the reason why he came to the world, to give redemption by way of Jesus Christ. It's sad. When Jesus found the disciples sleeping, he was sad. They couldn't pray even an hour with him. I ask you, how much time do you have left in your life? How much time do you have left in your life? You think, well, I got 15, 20 years left. Tonight they could ask for come for your soul. What are you going to do? What account will you give to God? What are you doing with what God has done for you, given you? It's interesting, brethren, that the captain came, an unbeliever, and wakes him up and said, what are you doing? How are you sleeping? Don't you see we're dying? But he knew what the cause was. Many of us are falling asleep. Wake up, those that are asleep, and Christ will give you light. Sometimes you enjoy more with unbelievers than believers. There are people in church. When I was saying amen, they were ready with their hands, ready with their children to run out of church after I said the final amen. But they don't leave their parties like that and their reunions with their family. They don't flee from those. It's like I couldn't come to church because I had the 15-year birthday party with my daughter. And whatever other music that they might have there. I didn't want them to be offended. That's why I would go and I'd give them a good testimony. Sharing all that wickedness and sin with them. But if you're ready to jump when the final amen is said in church. You know why? Because of sin. The captain goes, says to him, wake up because you're sleeping. It's time to work. It's time to serve the Lord. What is your office and what do you do? He said to Jonah, your occupation. It wasn't his people, but it was his people. And of a truth, why are you sleeping? Many of us, brethren, we think that, oh, I'm saved. I have nothing else to do. I reached it. I attained it. You should give testimony that you're saved. I'm going to finish, brother. You know? And they took Jonah. He was the true cause why the storm had come. And they believe him. When you speak of the things of God and the will of God, people will believe. They throw him. And then the calm comes. And everything is calm. He said, well, I freed myself from having to go to Nineveh. I'm going to die and that's it. Nope, God sent a ship, and God sent the fish and swallowed him, and he was sent to Nineveh. God's going to send you. That's not part of my message. I'm not going to go further with that. Immediately, after the calm came, they recognize who God is. That's the true God, the man that we threw in the sea. That's the one that can bring peace to the storm, peace to my life. And that's He's going to help me raise my children and put them in subjection, because that's the power of God, submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God, maintain that unity. And they begin to offer sacrifices. What sacrifices? They'd offered everything. What did they offer? They had nothing else. Themselves. And they said, Lord, we recognize everything is yours, but I offer myself a living sacrifice. And they offered true sacrifices, not of lips, but with a heart, a sincere and pure heart. They had recognized that there was a God, and that God was doing everything for them, and that God could bring peace to the storm in their life and save them. There's no other. First, they were fearful of the storm. Second, they were fearful when they heard Jonah speak of God. You know, there's necessities outside when they hear about God. Jesus Christ died for them. Not to say, oh, poor Jesus, look what they did to him. No. He did that so you wouldn't have to suffer in thankfulness. He paid for what we should have suffered. Amen. There's people that cry, say, Lord, poor Jesus. That is not, if that hasn't affected your life yet. They cried out to the Lord instead of crying out to their gods. The world is going to take everything from you, and you're not going to have anything to show for at the end. But when someone fears the Lord, brethren, it's something different. A person that wants to respect the name of God in sacrifice. He didn't have the church as a place to just pass it well and say, it doesn't matter what you do, God's going to love you and bless you. It's not like that. God tolerates everything, homosexuality and adultery, fornication. God tolerates that. No. If you don't serve God, it's the same thing. I preach to them, brother, are you sure you're going to heaven? Are you sure? Because you have the opportunity today. You can repent and leave all and come to the feet of the Lord and say, Lord, I want to serve you. What he wants from you is your service. We are servants. The word servant is a slave. It depends totally on his owner. And we depend totally. And we serve the Lord. And what he gives us is he gives us work, he gives us clothes, he gives us a house. Everything depends on him. That's what it means to be a servant of the Lord. They offered sacrifices. Brother, we cannot come to God with our hands empty. I'm not speaking on material things. I'm speaking about your heart. Above all things, guard your heart, because out of it are the issues of life. Is Christ in your heart, so Christ would dwell and live in your heart? Is Christ in your heart? That's what is coming out of your life. We are made in the image of God. We should live as he lived. We should do what he did. He dwells in our life. If he dwells if we're saved. If Christ is in you, you could be doing tremendous things for God. That the world could be shocked at how you do those things. Because I have Christ. It's not me, it's Christ. Want me to share it with you? You know why? My marriage is good. And my children are good. You know why? Why I'm always smiling? I'm going to tell you something. I've had diabetes for 50 years. I'm 56 years old. 3 times a day I have to inject insulin. 2 types of insulin. Could you believe that? The doctor said, you say you look more healthy than others.
Because I depend on God. He wakes me up every morning. I give thanks to God for my diabetes. Thank you, Lord. Because I can see your hand. I have glasses. I can see well. I just use them for looks. Because my body's healthy. My sight is good. My kidneys, my body. God has given me this heart. I trust in Him. I trust in His promises. And I know that as long as I have faith in His promises, without faith it's impossible to please God. And God rewards those that seek Him. My reward is up in heaven. But living here, in spite of the storm around you, is giving testimony that God is powerful, that He saved us, and trust in His promises. Let's pray. I don't know if this is a custom or not, but if God has spoken to you, I think this is the fourth message. Sambo again. There's other preachers that follow after me. If God has spoken to you, brother, why don't you begin to take decisions, serve the Lord? Why don't you say, Lord, forgive me. I haven't been useful. If you haven't been saved, you need to confirm your salvation. Refresh your vows to the Lord. Lord, I want one day when I come to your presence, I want to hear that I've been faithful in the little and faithful in much. It's time to leave our commodities, leave the comfortable way of life, and say, Lord, I've messed up. I'm lacking. I need you. Let's pray. The altar is open. Holy Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today. We're very blessed, very thankful, Lord. There's so many people that don't know you. They don't have anywhere to congregate. No one to preach to them. We are so blessed, Lord, that you've given us the privilege of knowing you, of knowing the power that is in you to change our lives and give us a new life, Father. It could be here, in this morning, almost afternoon. There could be one that's not saved, but would like to know how to be saved. I don't know everything you spoke about, Pastor, but I don't want to go to condemnation. And what the other preachers have spoken about, repentance means a change of direction. Instead of fleeing from God, it's time to come back. It's time to seek God. Come, change your direction. If there's someone here that is not sure, everyone has their eyes closed. They're praying. Is there someone here that is not saved, that is not sure about going to heaven? If you raise your hand so someone later in private can explain to you, no one's going to look. You're not going to be ashamed. You're not going to be embarrassed. Just raise your hand that you would like to know for sure how to go to heaven. And if anyone's there, raise your hand. Glory to God. If there's no one like that. So each one of you has made a profession of faith and accepted Christ as your Savior. It's time to give your life in service to the Lord. How many can raise your hand and say, I want to be useful to the Lord? I want to serve Him with my strength. Just raise your hand. He that is embarrassed and ashamed of my words will be ashamed before the holy angels and the Father. If you're ashamed of the Father and don't want to give a public testimony of faith that you're a child of God, raise your hand. Anyone want to raise their hand? Say, there's many hands that are not raised. They didn't raise their hands for salvation, but they're not raising them now for service. What is impeding you? Your ship, your money? Has the message not of God not come to your life? God has not spoken to you? So making a revision to your ears. Go and search your heart. Why you are not serving God? You can raise your hand. Holy Father, thank you, Lord, for permitting me to come here. Forgive me if I spoke something I should not have. We spoke about you, Father. We care about the souls and the lives of the people. I want to exhort them and to unite ourselves as one church, and that your name will be glorified. And we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.